Hello and welcome to Speak the Words, a Cosmere podcast. I'm Sean.
And I'm Mango.
This is a podcast where we are slowly but surely working our way through the story of the Stormlight Archive and the Cosmere overall, currently on Book 3, Oathbringer. We are on Part 3 of Book 3. I don't have any more 3s to bring into it, unfortunately.
Episode 3.
No, not Episode 3.
Return of the Jedi.
No Jedi in this episode, unfortunately. I think it would make the book better. I think if you add Jedi to something, it can only make it better, in my own personal experience. I don't think anything has ever been worse for having Jedi in it.
See? I'm trying to find one that is.
See? Right? Because you can think of bad things that have Jedi in them, but then if you take the Jedi out, they only get worse. Right? It's not like they get better because you take the Jedi out.
What was that one game, Jedi Knights?
Jedi Knights? I don't know. There's a game called Jedi Knight.
Is it a good game?
Yeah, I think they're pretty fun. But if you took Jedi out of them, it'd be a much worse game. I don't even know what it would be. It's called Jedi
Knight.
I'm
trying to think of something that's worse with the word. Not necessarily that the Jedi word makes it worse, but it's just a bad thing that happens to have Jedi in it.
Oh, a bad thing that happens to have Jedi in it?
Like the word Jedi
like
in it.
The word. The word Jedi. I can't think of anything. I'm sure there's a book, right? Like, I'm sure there are so many Star Wars books. I'm sure there's one that has a Jedi in it that happens to be bad. I was going to say, if you were just looking for bad things with Jedi Knights in them, just watch the prequels. All right, let's talk about Oathbringer.
Yeah, let's do that instead.
Last time, do you remember what happened? We started part 3 and we did some interludes.
They went to visit a different city and Downer fixed a wall.
Yeah, he fixed a wall in Thalen City and
fought someone and purposely got stabbed through the chest and was like, "You can't kill me."
Yep.
Bruh, why are you. You guys shouldn't fight us because, number one, you can't win. Number two, if I wanted to hurt you, I already would have.
And then he gets sad boy hours about that, because he doesn't like that. That's how he has to.
Yeah.
Or that's what he does. That's what he resorts to.
I like that there's depth to it, because
yeah,
a lot of other authors would just be like, okay, well, how does he have to convince them to be on his side? And then they would pull that and just move on from it. They wouldn't, like, think about the morals of it.
Dalinar's like, I keep saying I don't want to be this person, and then every time I hit a wall, I fall back into being this person. The idea of, I've gained these powers, and I'm just using them to be more of this person, and then he has the moment where he realizes that he can use the powers for something else, and he restores the wall. He can use it to unite things, instead of being forceful.
Yeah.
Or unite through, like, coaxing instead of force.
Yeah, or just, like, being like, yeah, there's no point in trying to fight me. You're not going to win.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, just do what I say, because it's what's best for you.
Yeah. We also had, in the interludes, we saw a soulcaster that went to Aemia. And her entire crew died, where her entire crew was poisoned by a sleepless that had infiltrated the crew. And the sleepless was saying there was something in Aemia that needed to be protected, and that they protect Aemia. We're gonna find out what that is in, you know, how we had Edge Dancer, which was just like a little thing in between Words of Radiance and this book.
Yeah.
There's a little novella about Aemia in between this book and the next one, and we'll find out what that sleepless was guarding. It's pretty fucking important. We had a Taravangian chapter where we just kind of saw, like, the crazy side of him, which we haven't really seen yet. We haven't seen him when he's really smart yet. And he has kind of decided that they need to support Dalinar until they get the chance to take the coalition from him. And then we had one Venli chapter where Venli, the last kind of people in Venli's life that she was close to, had their bodies taken by the Fused.
So now she's the only one left, and she didn't get taken by the Fused, and instead she is now kind of bonded with, like, a void spread.
Yeah. So Venli isn't the last of the Parshmen.
No, she's the last one of her friends.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there are still people from the Shattered Plains around.
Yeah.
Just all of her friends are gone.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, yeah. I think they say in the chapter there's like 1,000 of them left or something. Like, maybe 200. Not that many. Yeah, she's bonded with a little void spren. But also, the spren that she had found near Eshernai's corpse has followed her. And Venli saved it from being killed by one of the fused. This week, we start with chapter 60, which is titled Winds and Oaths. It has Kaladin symbol. The epigraph reads, I worry about my fellow truth watchers, from drawer 8-21, second emerald. So, emeralds, obviously, truth watchers. Kaladin is flying at the front of a high storm with Scar, Drahi, and Elokar's team. They hadn't been able to bring shard plate for Elokar and Adolin, as they couldn't lash it, and Kaladin was very confused by why Shallan's crew of deserters and a maid had come with them. And he's looking down at Shallan as they fly, and he thinks, how does she smile like that? Her heedless joy made him want to show her how to really fly. He snapped himself back to the moment. Scar and Drahi flew below them, watching for anybody to fall for some reason. Elokar stared intensely in front of them as he flew, while Adolin seemed to be having a rough time with it. She clearly likes the sky, Syl said, glancing at Shallan. A natural. She almost seems like a spren, and I consider that high praise. He sighed and did not look at Shallan. Come on, you need to be with people to be happy, Kaladin. I know you do. I have my bridge crew. Not the same, and you know it. She brought her handmaid on a scouting mission. She couldn't go a week without someone to do her hair. You think I'd be interested in that? Think? I know. Don't think I don't spot you stealing looks. She smirked. Time to stop so we don't overshoot Kolinar, Kaladin said. Go tell Scar and Drahi. Kaladin canceled all their lashings so that they hovered in the air. We're close to Kolinar, Kaladin said, which is good, as we're getting near the back edge of the storm and I'll soon lose access to its stormlight. What I feel like I'm about to lose, Shallan said, is my shoes. Shoes, Adolin said. I lost my lunch back there. I can't help imagining something sliding off and dropping into it, Shallan whispered. Vanishing. Gone forever. She glanced at Kaladin. No wisecracks about missing boots? I couldn't think of anything funny. He hesitated. Though that hasn't ever stopped you. Shallan grinned. Have you ever considered, Bridgman, that bad art does more for the world than good art? Artists spend more of their lives making bad practice pieces than they do masterworks, particularly at the start. And even when an artist becomes a master, some pieces don't work out. Still, others are somehow just wrong until the last stroke. You learn more from bad art than you do from good art, as your mistakes are more important than your successes. Plus, good art usually evokes the same emotions in people. Most good art is the same kind of good, but bad pieces can each be bad in their own unique way. So I'm glad we have bad art, and I'm sure the Almighty agrees. All this, Adolin said, to justify your sense of humor, Shallan? My sense of humor? No, I'm merely trying to justify the creation of Captain Kaladin. Drahi, Scar, Kaladin called. Keep everyone in the air. I'm going to go scout below. He flew near the city and saw that the guard posts still flew Alethi flags. Kolinar had not fallen. He saw the beginnings of a siege as the enemies began to gather outside the city. Kaladin stopped for a moment to just stare at the city. It was extremely beautiful, and something was very, very wrong with it. A cloud hung over the palace. The feeling of wrongness persisted and seemed strongest around a portion at the east of the palace complex, the Oathgate platform. Kaladin flew back up towards the rest of the group. Elokar wants to land in the middle of the city and march right up to the Oathgate platform, but Kaladin persuades him to take a more careful and stealthy approach, and that is where the chapter ends. I have an image for you. It is a map of Kolinar and the palace. Chapter 61, Nightmare Made Manifest. It has Kaladin symbol, and the epigraph reads, We can record any secret we wish and leave it here. How do we know that they'll be discovered? Well, I don't care. Record that then. From drawer 2-3, a smokestone. And smokestones are skybreakers, so a skybreaker wrote this. They landed a ways away from the city and hiked back to it. Shallan had concealed their location with the light weaving for the night, and now that morning had arrived, they were inspecting the city. Adolin points out that the Voidbringers are letting refugees into the city to drain the resources. Elokar asks Shallan to give them all illusions so that they can enter the city as refugees. Adolin was looking at the palace with a spyglass, and Shallan says that one of the Unmade is there. Her sketches of the palace had been similarly twisted like the ones she'd done of Yur'a-Thiru. Elokar says that Kaladin had been right to be cautious and that he still felt like rushing in, but knows that it's the wrong move. Shallan sketches disguises for Kaladin, Adolin, and Elokar, saying that nobody else in their party would be recognized. She applies the light weaving to Kaladin first, and then there's a running gag throughout this chapter that Shallan has turned Kaladin's face into something absolutely horrifying. And whenever people try to talk to him, they flinch, and he can't get a mirror to see what his face looks like. She turns Adolin into a handsome older man and Elokar into a light-eyed woman, since he just is like, he's so up his own ass and so like regal that he has to be like somebody fancy or else it won't be believable. They begin to approach the city. Elokar jogged up beside Kaladin. He tells Kaladin that the river that ran near Kolinar was named the Windrunner after Kaladin's order. He asks Kaladin to protect the city when he fails. And Elokar says, "This is a time to be realistic. A king must do whatever he can for the good of his people, and my judgment has proven deficient. Anything I have accomplished in life has been handed to me by my father or my uncle. You are here, Captain, to succeed when I fail. Remember that. Open the Oath Gate. See that my wife and child are ushered through it to safety, and return with an army to reinforce this city. I'll do my best, Your Majesty."
Elokar has a child?
He does. He's a little boy. "You'll do what I command. Oof. Be extraordinary, Captain. Nothing else will suffice." Elokar falls back and Adolin takes his place. He tells Kaladin that he has a place in the city where they can lay low until they've done a little scouting. They get close to the entrance and Adolin tells the others that he and Kaladin will go have a look first, and the only two that actually listen to that order are Drahi and Scar. Everybody else just follows them up to the front gate. Elokar marches right up to the front gate and demands entry. They ask if Elokar has any fighting men, like the guards ask if Elokar has any fighting men to defend the city, and when Elokar says that they're his personal guard, they tell him to try a different city. The guards say that they're operating under the orders of High Marshal Azor of the Wall Guard, and Elokar says that he's never heard of the man. The guards say that they're only allowed to let in a certain amount of people a day, and they've already passed the limit. They tell the gathered refugees that the Voidbringers are focused on Kolinar and that they'll have a better chance escaping somewhere else. Elokar asks who commands Azor and is told that nobody is above the High Marshal. He asks about Queen Aesudan, and they just shake their heads at him. The guards tell him that if Scar and Drahi join the Wall Guard, then they'll let the group in. Elokar is about to keep arguing when Syl starts to freak out. Kaladin looks up and sees 20 Voidbringers flying in a V formation toward the wall. The guards rush up to fight, and the refugees take advantage of the lack of guards to get into the city. A few men got tossed off the wall farther along. Kaladin took a step toward them, but before he could do anything, they crashed to the ground with strikingly loud impacts. "Steady," he told himself. "The point is to get in without being seen. You would ruin that by flying to the defense of the city." But he was supposed to protect. Adolin comes back for Kaladin and persuades him to get inside the city, that going up there with shard blades swinging wouldn't help. He says that the Fuse wouldn't be able to take the city anyways and that it was just a raid. The Voidbringers would need soldiers to hold it. They enter into the city and find it filled to the brim. They don't pass any patrols as they move toward the wealthy area of the city, large homes with gates and guards protecting them. As they get further from the walls, the city seems to have more order. They pass a market with a policing force wearing unfamiliar uniforms. Shallan points out performers dressed in all white with cloth streamers. They watch for a moment as a procession comes marching down the street, dressed in bright colors, calling out in nonsense. Adolin says that this isn't a normal occurrence, and Shallan tells him that the performers are imitating Spren. People start to pray as the performers pass, and Syl points out nearby exhaustion Spren that instead of a normal brown, have turned bright red and distorted, and she says that it's of odium. The group continue moving, and Adolin leads them to a row of buildings and then steps up to the door and knocks on it. Kaladin finally gets to see his face in the reflection of the door knocker and freaks out over how ugly he looks. The door opens, and a short Thalen woman demands to know who they are. Shallan drops Adolin's light weaving, and the woman immediately recognizes him. She pulls the group into the house, which is filled with cloth and dummies with half-finished coats on them. "What is this place?" Kaladin asked. Well, I figured we'd want someplace safe, Adolin said. We'd need to stay with someone I'd trust with my life or more. He looked at Kaladin, then gestured toward the woman. So I brought us to my tailor. And that is the end of the chapter.
Trust his tailor with his life.
Yeah. Of course he would. He's Adolin.
It's like, listen, if this person can keep me looking good, I'd trust them with anything.
Yeah. Chapter 62, Research. It has Shallan's symbol. The epigraph reads, I wish to submit my formal protest at the idea of abandoning the tower. This is an extreme step taken brashly. From drawer 2-22, Smokestone. So another Skybreaker. The chapter starts, Secrets. This city was brimming with them. It was stuffed with them. So tightly they couldn't help but ooze out. The only thing for Shallan to do, then, was punch herself in the face. He's trying to attract Painspren while the woman who owned the building, Yolkska, explains what has been happening to Elokar. All of the light weavings at this point have been dismissed. Yolkska is explaining about the execution of the Ardent from the interlude in Words of Radiance. Elokar is convinced that the dark spread hanging over the palace is responsible for that order. Shallan grabs a pair of scissors and stabs herself in the leg. Pattern said. Destruction. This is not normal for you, Shallan. Too far. Painspren appeared, a sickly green instead of the normal bright orange. Shallan took a memory of them and then healed the wound with stormlight. Yolkska says that the strange darkness over the palace came with the Everstorm and then had been left behind. She says that the palace guard and city watch are both barricaded in the palace on the queen's orders and haven't been seen since. She says that in the middle of the rioting, the queen had ordered all the parchment executed, but nobody followed it as they thought that she had gone mad. Elokar reiterates that there has to be some sort of dark spren, but and not Aesudan. Adolin asks if there had been any murder similar to the ones in Yirithiru by the Midnight Mother, but Yolkska says nothing like that has happened, and Shallan decides that it must be a different unmade. Shallan finished a sketch of the pain spren, the exhaustion spren from earlier, and then hunger spren from one of the refugees. The hunger spren didn't look any different for some reason. Elokar isn't putting together the fact that Aesudan had been acting strange before the Everstorm dropped off the weird spren, but Shallan decides to let him be ignorant for longer. Yolkska says that a group of Light Eyes went to meet with the queen and never returned from the palace. Eventually, the wall guard took action and restored order. They rounded up the parchment and exiled them from the city right before the Everstorm came. Shallan strides out into the room, and then intentionally trips so that she would land in a very embarrassing position with her safe hand exposed to Elokar, Kaladin, and Adolin.
Why?
The action produces shame spren that look like pieces of broken glass instead of the normal falling red and white flower petals. So she wanted to create shame spren to see if they also looked different from what they should. Yolkska says that this is when High Marshal Azor showed up, and that she hasn't seen the man. He doesn't come down from the wall, and since they don't have many men, they have focused on holding the wall and leaving the city to fend for itself. She says that nobody rules the city currently, that various High Lords have seized sections of the city, but the real power in the city is the Cult of the Moments, which is the processioners
dancers,
that they saw earlier. Yeah. She says that with everything going on, people believe that a new world is coming, one ruled by Spren. The Vorin Church have declared the Cult of Moments heretics, but most of the Ardents had been in the palace when it went dark. She also says that when you use a Fabrial, a screaming yellow Spren will appear, and that draws a flying fuse that will take the Fabrial and sometimes kill the person using it. So, now they know why all the span reads aren't working.
Oh, because they'll die if they use
them. Yeah, if they try to use them, a fuse will show up and kill the person and take the span read. Shallan says they should give the tailor a rest, and the crew gathers to come up with a plan. Kaladin says he wants to know what's going on with the wall guard, as both Elokar and Adolin have never heard of a High Marshal Azor. Kaladin says that they must be the ones feeding the city and is unsure of how they're getting the grain. Shallan shows them the sketches she's been doing of the city spren and says something is wrong with them. Shallan had grown so accustomed to seeing Elokar as an afterthought, but there was an earnest determination to him, and yes, even a regal bearing. Yes, she thought, taking a memory of Elokar. Yes, you are king, and you can live up to your father's legacy. Elikar asks Kaladin what they should do, and the Windrunner says that their best bet might be to try to get back to Dalinar and report to him. Elikar says that Dalinar won't know anything more than they do, and that they don't have time to go to him. Adolin says that they should scout the city, and Elikar agrees. He asks Shallan to disguise herself as a messenger woman and try to deliver a letter to Aesudan from him. Kaladin thinks it's a good idea, but Adolin is worried about the danger, but Shallan reminds him that she's the only one that's faced an unmaid before, like, directly one-on-one. And Pattern promises to warn them if anything happens. Elikar asks her to try it and also get a look at the Oathgate platform, but Kaladin doesn't like the idea of just sitting around, so Elikar says that Kaladin should go with Shallan just to keep an eye on her. Shallan says that she wants to scout the city first, and tells Kaladin to meet her by the palace later. Elikar goes to prepare his letter, Adolin and Kaladin continue talking about the wall guard, and Shallan goes to change into Vale. She goes up to the room where that she's staying in, and inside are Red and Vata and Ishna, the assistant spy, and they're all chatting quietly, so Gaz did not come. Oh. Shallan reveals to them that she's Vale at this point.
Oh.
Red's, yeah. She's like, I can't keep sneaking around it like this. It's just not going to work. Because if Vale shows up in the city, it's like, you didn't come with us, you know?
Uh-huh.
Red slapped the side of his head and laughed. You're kidding. Well, I feel like an idiot. She'd expected Vata to feel betrayed. Instead, he nodded, as if this made perfect sense. He saluted her with one finger, then the two men retreated. Ishna lingered. You don't look surprised about this, Shallan said. I was suspicious when you told me to go on this mission. Then I saw the illusions and guessed. I had it reversed. I thought Brightness Shallan was the persona, but the spy, that's the false identity. Wrong, Shallan said. They're both equally false. Go tell Brightlord Kaladin I'm already out and exploring and that he should meet me in about an hour. She climbed out the window and dropped one story to the ground, relying on her stormlight to keep her legs from breaking. Then she struck off down the street. And that is the end of the chapter. Yeah, they're both fake, right, Mango? Shallan isn't the real one either. That's not concerning at all.
They're both as real as the other, and they're both as fake as the other. I mean, but to be fair, she did always think that who she was fake because she's hiding who she actually is because it's suppressed.
Yep. Yeah. She's doing great.
It's always been fake.
Who's High Marshal Azor? Adolin and Elikar have never heard of him. What's going
That's
on?
That's concerning.
Chapter 63, Within the Mirror. It has Shallan's symbol again, and the epigraph reads, I return to find squabbling children instead of proud knights. That's why I hate this place. I'm going to go chart the hidden undersea caverns of Aemia. Find my maps in Akana. From drawer 16-16, Amethyst. And Amethyst is the gemstone of the Will Shapers, which is another one of the orders. So this was written by
an order that I have never heard of.
Yes, I think this is one of the few that you've never heard of. But this was written by a Will Shaper. Vale enjoyed being in a proper city again, even if it was half feral. She used light weavings to shift her features to those of Vale's and notes that it doesn't set off any of the void spread that react to Fabriddles. She strolled through the city, taking note of all the refugees and cultists. The closer she got to the palace, the emptier the city became, while the areas near the walls were packed. She got close to the palace and used a light weaving to shift her features and clothing to those of Lynn's. The Oathgate platform was 20 feet in the air, covered with buildings. A walkway connected it to the palace, and a set of steps were cut into the outside, which were guarded by the people in Spren costumes. Smoke trailed from the platform, and Vale thought that she could hear screams coming from it. She found Kaladin leaning against a statue nearby. Hey, she said softly, it's me. Do you like the boots on this outfit? Do we have to keep bringing that up? I was giving you a passcode, Bridge Boy, to prove I'm who I am. I say I am. Lynn's face made that clear, he said, handing her the king's letter inside a sealed envelope. I like him, Vale thought. And odd thought in how much stronger that feeling was to Vale than it had been to Shallan. I like that brooding sense he has about him, those dangerous eyes. Why did Shallan focus so much on Adolin? He was nice, but also bland. You couldn't tease him without feeling bad. But Kaladin, he glared at you in the most satisfying of ways. The part of her that was still Shallan, deep down, was bothered by this line of thinking. So instead, Vale turned her attention to the palace.
Shallan?
You thought the love triangle thing was done? No! Vale wants to bone down with Kaladin.
I didn't think it was
done. And she is going to make it known. It just hasn't come up since, like...
No, so I didn't think it was done, but I didn't think that it was going to become one of the personality things. It's like, oh, Shallan likes Adolin. Vale likes Kaladin. Like, I hate that. I mean, Shallan also likes Kaladin, but she doesn't understand why. And she's not open about it. But Vale is like, I don't have to be Shallan. I don't have to be proper. I can like who I want to like.
Yes, and the brooding bridge boy is the kind of guy that would appeal to Vale. You know? So, Vale turns her attention to the palace. Vale tells Kaladin to stay outside while she goes in. She assures him that she'll send Pattern to get him if she needs help, and then she climbs up the steps to the entrance. A group of guards approach her. "I have a message from the king," she said, holding it up, "to be delivered directly to Her Majesty. I've traveled all the way from the Shattered Plains." The guards didn't break stride. One opened a door into the palace while the others formed up behind Vale, prodding her forward. She walked into a grand entryway. No one made, no darkness waiting to consume her. She breathed out, though she could feel something. The wrongness. She jumped when one of the soldiers put his hand on her shoulder. "What is this?" "Messenger," a soldier said, "from the Shattered Plains." Another plucked the letter from her fingers and handed it toward a captain lord. "Who is your commander there?" the captain asked her. "Well, I served on the plains for a few years." "Captain Kolat," she said, naming the officer who had joined the Windrunners. The captain lord nodded, then handed the letter to one of his men. "Take it to Queen Aesudan." "I was supposed to deliver it in person," Vale said. One of the soldiers ran her through. It happened so quickly she was left gaping at the sword blade protruding through her chest. He yanked the weapon back out, and Vale collapsed with a groan. She reached for Stormlight by instinct. No, do as Yasna did. She pretends to be dead and takes in just a little bit of Stormlight to keep her alive and heal her interior wounds. She tells Pattern to stay quiet as the guards pick her up and carry her through the palace. They pass a mirror. In it, she glimpses the guard with Lin thrown over his shoulder. And beyond that, deep within the mirror, something turned and looked toward Shallan with a sudden and surprised motion. It looked like a shadow of a person, only with white spots for eyes. Vale quickly closed her peeking eye. The guard tossed her Vale into a room filled with seven other corpses. She quickly got to her feet and left the room, putting on a light weaving of a serving woman. She imitated the Captain Lord's voice to get guards to move out of her path and escaped out of the palace. She found a busted-up building to hide in and told Pattern to go find Kaladin. "Storms," he said. "Shallan, what happened to you?" "Well," she said, "as a connoisseur of things that have killed me, I think a sword happened. Shallan, the evil force that rules the palace did not think highly of someone coming with a letter from the king." She smiled at him. "You could say, it made that point quite clear." "Smile. I need you to smile. I need what happened to be all right, something that can simply roll off me. Please." "Well," Kaladin said, "I'm glad we took a stab at this anyway." He smiled. It was all right. Just another day, another infiltration. He helped her to her feet, then looked to check on her wound, and she slapped his hand. The cut was not in an appropriate location. "Sorry," he said. "Surgeon's instincts. Back to the hideout?" "Yes, please," she said. "I'd rather not be killed again today. It's quite draining." And that is the end of the chapter. We got one more chapter tonight. It is chapter 64, Binder of Gods. It has Dalinar's symbol, and the epigraph reads, "The disagreements between the Skybreakers and the Windrunners have grown to tragic levels. I plead with any who hear this to recognize you are not so different as you think." From Drawers 27-19, Topaz. Which, I would just want to make sure this sound... hang on, sorry. What I wrote down sounds wrong. I just want to make sure that this is the right order. Who's Topaz? Because I wrote Stoneward, but for some reason that sounds wrong. Topaz, that's Stoneward. All right, that doesn't sound like a Stoneward to me. But yeah, that's a Stoneward. Dalinar checks on where he hid Yezrian's honor blade. "There are some who assumed you were one of the heralds," Dalinar noted to the Stormfather. "Yzerize, herald of kings, father of storms." "Men say many foolish things," the Stormfather replied. "Some name Kalek Stormfather, others Yezrian. I am neither of them. But Yzerize was a Windrunner. He was before Windrunners. He was Yezrian, a man whose powers bore no name. They were simply him. The Windrunners were named only after Ishar founded the Orders. Ishii Lin, Dalinar said. Herald of Luck. Or of Mysteries. Or of Priests. Or of a dozen other things, as men dubbed him. He is now as mad as the rest. More, perhaps. Do you know where they are? I have told you. I do not see all. Only glimpses in the storms. Do you know where they are? Only one. I have seen Ishar. He curses me at night, even as he names himself a god. He seeks death, his own, perhaps that of every man. It clicked. Stormfather! Yes? No, that was a curse. Never mind. Tezim, the god priest of Tukar. Is it him? Ishii, herald of luck, is the man who has been waging war against Imul? Yes. For what purpose? He is insane. Do not look for meaning in his actions. When were you thinking of informing me of this? When you asked. When else would I speak of it? When you thought of it. You know things that are important, Stormfather. He just rumbled his reply. Dalinar took a deep breath, trying to calm himself. So yeah, the crazy dude that wrote the letter to Dalinar earlier in the book saying that he was fucking bearer of the Oath Pact, God King of whatever, that's Ishar. That's one of the heralds.
So he is, in fact, one of the heralds. He's not lying about
it. No, he is not. He was telling the truth.
But he is, in fact, very mad.
And the Stormfather says, possibly crazier than all the rest of them. Which is funny,
because
when we saw Nail in Edge Dancer, Nail was like, Ishar is the most sane of all of us. He's the only one we can trust.
Well, their opinions of crazy might be different.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you right now, Mango, Ishar is absolutely the most fucking crazy of all of them. Yeah, the fact that Nail is like, we can trust Ishar, is deeply concerning to me. But Ishar is absolutely the most nuts of all of them. It continues, did you know about my powers? Did you know that I could heal the stone? I knew it once you did it. Yes, once you did it, I always knew. Do you know what else I can do? Of course. Once you discover it, I will know. But your powers will come when you are ready for them, not before. They cannot be hurried or forced. But do not look toward the powers of others, even those who share your surges. Their lot is not yours, and their powers are small, petty things. What you did in reknitting those statues was a mere trifle, a party trick. Yours is the power Ishar once held. Before he was Herald of Luck, they called him Binder of Gods. He was the founder of the Oath Pact. No Radiant is capable of more than you. Yours is the power of connection, of joining men and worlds, minds and souls. Your surges are the greatest of all, though they will be impotent if you seek to wield them for mere battle. So yeah, Ishar created the Oath Pact.
He was like, hey God, can you like give us powers so that we can fight these demon things forever?
And presumably, as Ishar would have held the Bondsmith powers before they were the Bondsmith powers, he can form connections, capital C. And presumably, he has done some...
That would be how he created the Oath Pact.
Yes. Presumably. I don't know how the Oath Pact works entirely.
Either he created the Oath Pact because he had the Bondsmith powers, or he gained the Bondsmith powers because he created the Oath Pact. And they were themed after him creating the Oath Pact.
I would guess that he has the Bondsmith powers and then used them to create the Oath Pact. I don't think it was the other way
around. But that means that they would have gotten the Honor Blades before they created the Oath Pact.
It would have, wouldn't it? Are there others like me out there? He finally asked. Not right now, and there can ever be only three. One for each of us. Three. Three Spren who make Bondsmiths. You and Cultivation are two. The Stormfather actually laughed. You would have a difficult time making her your Spren. I should like to see you try it. Then who? My siblings need not concern you. Dalinar holds up a gemstone. Have I ever asked how you renew these? Honor's power during a storm is concentrated in one place. It pierces all three realms and brings physical, cognitive, and spiritual together momentarily in one. The gemstones, exposed to the wonder of the spiritual realm, are lit by the infinite power there. Could you renew this sphere now? I do not know. He sounded intrigued. Hold it forth. Dalinar did so and felt something happen, a tugging on his insides, like the Stormfather straining against their bond. The sphere remained done. It is not possible. I am close to you, but the power is not. It still rides the storm. Dalinar meets with the members of Bridge 4 and gives them the Honor Blade so that they can practice their Windrunner powers while Kaladin is gone. He holds it to Teft, who's like, I don't want that. Leighton, you take it. And then Leighton's like, I don't want it either.
They're all like, no thanks.
Yeah, and so Rock pushes them all out of the way and takes it.
Rock!
And they're like, Rock? And he's like, I'm not gonna swing it, but I'll keep it safe. Dalinar tells them to not let anybody know that they have the Honor Blade, and then leaves to go prepare for a meeting with Gox. Later, he's standing on his balcony with Fen and Navani behind him. Fen is saying that Dalinar going alone to meet with the Azish is the best plan, but Navani is nervous they'll try to take him hostage. Fen hands him a packet with three letters inside and a span read. Navani hands him a box and tells him that she packed him lunch.
Aww.
If they didn't hear from the span read in an hour, they would come to get him. He strode down to the Oath Gate and passed soldiers that were staring intently at gemstones. Word had spread that Bridge 4 was recruiting. The Stormfather rumbled with displeasure. They go about this backward, foolish men. They can't draw in light and become radiant. They must first be approaching radiant and look for light to fulfill the promise. Dalinar stumbled upon a fight that was brewing between some of Sadeus's men and Aladar's. Dalinar shouted and stormlight shimmered along the stones before him. Those who hadn't gotten caught up in the fighting jumped back. The rest got stuck in the stormlight, which glued them to the ground. This caused all but the most furious to stop their fighting. He thinks that some of them might have been feeling the thrill, and decides to have them questioned just in case. Dalinar thinks that Sadeus's army was getting worse, and that Amaram didn't know how to control them like Sadeus had. They still hadn't been able to find out who had killed Sadeus. As he steps up onto the Oathgate platform, he decides that he has just the thing to keep Sadeus's troops busy. Yasna is waiting for him at the top, reading a book. "What took you?" she asked. Almost had a riot out on the parade ground. Two training formations got interlocked and started bashing one another. Sadeus? Dalinar nodded. We'll have to do something about them. I've been thinking. Maybe some hard labor. Strictly supervised in a ruined city might be just the thing. Yasna smiled. How convenient that we're currently providing exactly such assistance to Queen Fen. Work Sadeus's troops to exhaustion, assuming we can keep them under control there. I'll start with small batches, to be certain we're not sending more trouble Fen's direction. Have you had any news from the King's infiltration team at Kolinar? None. We'll keep watch and tell you the moment we get any sort of response. Dalinar nodded. Yasna summoned her Shardblade. You ready? I am. The Reshi girl, Lift, had obtained permission from the Azish court to unlock the Oathgate on their side. The Emperor was at long last willing to meet with Dalinar in the flesh. Yasna engaged the device. Light flashed outside, and immediately, stuffy heat surged in through the doorways. Apparently, a season of summer was well underway in Azir. Good luck, Yasna said as he stepped out of the room. It flashed behind him as she returned to Yirithiru, leaving him to meet the Azish Imperial Court on his own. And that is where we will stop for tonight. Kaladin's team has arrived in Kolinar, and there's plenty of weird shit happening there.
Yeah, they're like, hey, we're not letting anyone in from the outside, so you can bring a message, but we're gonna kill you.
Yeah, they just fucking tried to kill her. Like, they just immediately were like, yep, we'll take that, and stab.
So it's not necessarily that they're not taking messages, it's that you're not coming back once they do.
Yeah, they'll take the message, they'll learn what you have to say, but you won't learn anything from them. We will... next time, Shallan is going to run into an old friend in Kolinar.
Oh, is it Hoy?
Who knows? Who could it be? I'm going to tell you this, Mango. Right now, there are multiple crazy-ass motherfuckers in Kolinar, and I will be able to tell you about all of them by the end of this book. There are some people in Kolinar right now that you're like, what the fuck are you doing there?
Well, I'm assuming that, what's-his-face, Nail is probably there.
You will find out where Nail is later in this book when we get the Zeth POVs.
Oh yeah, I forgot that's a thing.
Yeah, we're fucking far into this book and we haven't even caught up with Zeth yet. I think the Zeth POVs are part four. Guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you guys next time. For now, you can join our Discord server. Link to do so is in the episode description. You can also follow us on Twitter @SpeakStormlight. Email us at speakthewordsasp@gmail.com. or follow me on Twitter at Sean_AFK. Also, our cover art was made by our good friend Alex at Alex_BigBoy. So follow all those links there in the episode description. Mango, why don't you say the words for us?
Life before death, strength before weakness, journey before destination.